Welcome to a new episode of the S4N Changemakers podcast. The podcast about the energy future, the digital energy transition, and of course, the people who are actively shaping it. Today, I'm very delighted to welcome someone who is on a mission to unlock flexibility where most people are not even looking for it. She is a founder of Utilize, a company helping commercial and industrial businesses become active participants in the energy transition through battery storage and intelligent energy management. Dr. Julia Singer. Julia, thank you for joining us today in our podcast.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for having me, Tia.
Perfect. Let's get to know you. Your background is actually in the natural sciences, yet today you are building a company at the forefront of the energy transition. What actually motivated you to enter the energy sector in the first place?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, after I completed my PhD in geophysics, I was looking for a position in the industry, which is kind of was just fascinating, which is kind of maybe on also in between like new thinking and also implementing solutions. And this is when I found Sonnen, and Sonnen was at that time one of the pioneers in the prosumer business or market and also the residential battery storage space. And this was my start at the energy sector, starting with this new idea, how I get like this new role for customers or like, yeah, before like customers in the energy transition to this kind of active participation in the energy sector. Yeah, this caught my attention and I stayed there the last 9 years now.
Love it. And when did you realize that entrepreneurship or founding your, or not just working in that industry was the path you wanted to take? What motivated you then to take the step from Sonnen to start a company within the energy sector?
Yeah, I think it was quite early already when I thought about it, but it took some time. It wasn't then immediately after the first years. And yeah, it took some time until I found something where I felt like, oh, there's really something where I can contribute something, where I can build something meaningful. And for me as well, very important where I can leverage my expertise based on my last years. But it's also something where I truly believe in and I can make an impact. And this is, I think I've always fascinated by the entrepreneurship, like this complexity and challenge to manage it. But this is when I then last year decided, okay, I found a topic where I can contribute something and let's do it.
Yeah, the let's do it, I think, is interesting because entrepreneurship is something you make something visible for the broader community and companies, and research is, yeah, something you want to dig in and find solutions and so on, but you don't really roll them out. Would you agree with that? Is entrepreneurship something that changed your mind, or is it as expected as you yeah, thought it to be?
Yes, I would say as expected as as it thought to be, yes, for sure. Maybe even like more challenging when you never thought about, okay, this is also something you have to handle, you have to solve. But yeah, I think this kind of really to get things as an economical feasible solution, which people buy and really invest in. And it's not technology-wise only a reasonable solution, but really what is kind of really make an impact, which is working. That's something really caught me and still fascinates me. And I like the dynamic and the challenges which come with it.
So then let's get to that impact. At its core, Utilize aims to accelerate the energy transition. Mm-hmm. But what challenges were you trying to solve that existing market players or your former company where you were working at Sonnen were not addressing sufficiently in your opinion, or weren't tackling that kind of problem? So yeah, talk about Utilize. Let's get into that.
Yeah, I think the situation when I started with the idea was last year, last winter, I think it was January around. I thought, okay, where are we in our energy transition? What is missing? What, how we can, accelerate, as you said, like how we get faster to this kind of 80% renewables in our grid. And obviously at that time, it was already where we saw a lot of grid scale battery storage projects were developed and so on. And so certainly the next phase of the energy transition is flexibility. And it's still in, is, I think, I think it's also the claim of S4IN.
Absolutely.
Where we see like, okay, how do we get this done? What are the hurdles? And this is something where so like, okay, how we can faster integrate it and how to also give access, how we get more players benefited from it and invest into this kind of next phase of need and flexibility. And this is something where I saw like, okay, we have a lot of this mid-sized company, which in the moment kind of fall in between like the large project developers, the residential, where we have, I would say already today, very good unified solution for them to benefit from flexibility. But especially mid-sized companies, which are kind in between, have a very bespoke in the grid infrastructure. But on the other hand, a very interesting situation because they have already a grid connection where you have around 500 kilowatts up to 1 megawatt capacity connected to the grid. But how do we get them to the flexibility market? How do we can integrate them and offer them solution where they also benefit from them? And this is exactly, I think, where we at Utilize step in. It's like where we say, like, how do we get these kind of group customers to the market? How do we offer them a solution which is not that complex that they have to get an energy expert business or team in their company? So taking away all the complexity from their table, but even like very attractive to invest in such an asset.
How do you see the role of Utilize or yourself as the founder? What role do you play in harvesting that flexibility and thus, of course, the buzzword accelerating the energy transition in comparison to like established companies? So what really makes the difference with Utilize? You spoke about you want to make it more accessible to more players, meaning also smaller assets that can you help to access the flexibility markets, but where's the difference to others, what didn't exist yet as a solution?
We see like, so I think the problem is not anymore the hardware. So I think deploying hardware, yes, it is needed, we need the infrastructure. So our solution is very come is like the layer in between. We connect the hardware which you deploy, which has today, very often the standard use case of self-consumption, peak shaving, atypical grid usage, but it's kind of not the connection to the energy market, to the very lucrative where you have a high volatility in it. And this is very common. So we are the layer in between, which kind of unlocks the access to these markets. We call ourselves like more optimization as a service. We are not a trading partner. We do the optimization. We are the independent partner for these customers. And for us, it is also very important that the customer don't have to change all their settings. On one side, we are fully compatible with existing infrastructure, PV, battery. So we are kind of hardware agnostic. And we also like not need, the customer don't need to change their electricity contract with their trusted partner they have already. So we often see like, especially in the mid-sized enterprises, they have their regional partner for the energy supply, for the core. And this is important. So the core business has to be running. It's not just redistributed by our idea, let's flexibilize everything. This should be keep as it is. And we just add what is needed. And that's independent and not requires a lock-in with a full package.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And when you help your customers trying to, as you say, unlock flexibility, is it in your terms? You also, when we spoke about it beforehand of the interview, always say we have the existing, or as you just mentioned, we have the existing infrastructure. And there are a lot of assets available, But in your terms, they are often hidden assets. So they are there, but the so-called flexibility is not available, or companies don't realize that they have it. And that's leading to my question. Why is it the case that still in times of renewables and a very changing energy system, that flexibility is still hidden? And yeah, do you have some examples perhaps in your experience?
Maybe first to clarify why we say it's a hidden flexibility. So we see, like, why do we say this kind of commercial customers have a hidden flexibility? Flexibility means you can provide power to the market, or like here, energy, or you can take energy from the market, that you stabilize the grid, that you kind of fill the gaps where our renewables maybe are missing or we have too much of them. So this is, I think, in terms of flexibility and power grid and markets, that's essential to understand. So this means, like, any type of flexibility you want to provide, you need a connection to this grid. You need to be connected. Otherwise, it's kind of, you have no chance to provide from flexibility. It's not a virtual asset. It's something real. So you need this grid connection. And grid connection nowadays, it's kind of a very, very tricky and challenging asset, I would say. Like, so it takes very long to build a new grid connection. On one side, we see, like, a lot of electrification and so on, but also, like, the build out of renewables. So a grid connection, new one, you need cable, you need maybe a transformer and so. And then on the other side, it takes a lot of time. So it's not only investment, but also takes time until you get really all the processes done. So if you would have already this grid connection, which you paid already, but which is not fully utilized. And this is exactly what we see at quite some of the companies we have talked to, and now our customers as well, that they have a grid connection, but they not fully need all the capacity they paid before. So this is something, yeah, it just sits idle, as we would say. And this is where we come in and say, like, okay, let's monetize this idle infrastructure, use it when you don't use it or need it for your core business, and we enable or allow you to generate revenues with this kind of unutilized grid connection. And this is very common, put in our solution and allow the customer to proactively be part of the market, to take energy with a partner like S4N, trade it on the energy market, and also, like, then sell it again. It's a typical arbitrage model we offer our customer here in the first place.
So you help those assets to actively participate and be connected to the market, but would otherwise be not possible, or you also nudge them forward to really unlock their, as you say, I love the word hidden flexibility, and make it available to the market. Cool.
Exactly, yeah.
I was asking myself in that terms, like, what are the misconceptions actually that companies have, still have about flexibility and perhaps battery storage in that sense? Are there any, do you got in touch with any companies or had discussions about those topics that they finally realize, we can really monetize our available grid connection or whatever. Do you see any, did you encounter any misconceptions there, or surprise, or something that surprised you about the view of others?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's very interesting to talk to these customers and situation. We have very different, on one side, we talk to customer really have a quite good expertise what the energy market is doing, what others are doing. And so there's this kind of battery storage. It's clear what you can do with it. And they understand already, okay, I also want to benefit from the markets. But, and this is why I think I really love to talk to these customers, because it's on one side a lot of education, it's outreach, but also opportunity to help them. I think that's so great to see them as, if you talk to them half an hour, for example, often it's this time when then it makes, I would say, click, and they think about it. Yes, that's great. Let's do this as well. Like, I also want to benefit. Before, I thought, like, I use a battery storage and I get independent of the grid. Don't have that high energy costs anymore. But I think if I look outside the box and also, like, think in the grid and I say, like, how I really also make a business out of this, this is really then the change. So I think the misconception is often, okay, battery storage helps me to get independent of the grid. It's not only working with the grid by benefiting and profit from it.
We tackled that smaller businesses had little or no access to the energy markets, and companies such as Utilize help to solve that issue. But are there, of course there are, but what kind of other barriers are still there that prevent smaller companies, enterprises to monetize smaller flexibilities? I don't know, frameworks. Politics is a lovely topic. Even technology, you said, okay, we can utilizes existing infrastructure or even mindset. I was talking in a previous episode with Jan Christopher Klotz from Celestra about that there's a change of mindset needed at some points, because there are so many different people and know-hows bundled in the energy sector. What would you say are typical barriers you encounter?
So first of all, I can fully agree with the mindset. It was also on my list. So I would say, like, the top three is, one of them are mindset. The other one is certainly the regulatory overhead. And the third one is the complexity. So maybe to explain a bit what I mean with regulatory overhead, I think what we see, like, because we're getting part of the grid, of the system, or the customer with his assets become part of this grid. So they need a lot of interaction with the distribution grid operator. What we see and experience having project in different grids or working with different distribution system operators, that there's a lot of really not very efficient processes behind. The requirements differ between the different partners, operators. And yeah, it's very manually and quite time consuming. This is something, of course, this is something we support the customer and take the complexity with our installer partners. But this is something which is certainly something which kind of, is a hurdle for smaller companies which do not have an expert, which do not have a project development team here to go into this, to invest in such a solution. The other one, as I said, like the complexity, but I think it is strongly connected as well with a mindset. At the moment, it sounds very complex. You need a partner for the optimization. There's a software behind. It's kind of a logic behind. How is it connected? I need a contract with a trading partner. But this is certainly where we also kind of want to take away this complexity. So that's not that expertise is needed. I think there's have to be an understanding what the customer wants, but then also kind of giving the customer the trust and also the ease to start the process, that it's not like I have to become an expert, I have to understand the contracts, but it has to be like, okay, there's one contract for them and then they get the full solution. It's not understanding, oh, I have to think about this part, otherwise I cannot participate or it's getting very expensive.
So given you talked with the customer, discussed what he wants, you can then take over to really help them with any kind of marketing optimization of that available flexibility of power consumption or, even, I don't know, production in case of batteries, charging or discharging the battery.
Yeah, I think it's both ways. It's one side, of course, I think we are in a segment where we have very specific situation. It's not like this uniform customer group. It's sometimes, I say, always very bespoke. But on the other side, it's not so different. It's kind of, but you have to listen. You have to listen, really. But on the other hand, you really have to bring a solution and explain why the solution works. And I think this kind of communication is also key, what we find out, to really break it down and not make the customer even as well an expert, but to understand like why this is working, why this fits to your situation, and why you can benefit. Why is it like really a model which will work not only today, but as well next year or the year after and so on.
So if we then succeed in bringing thousands of smaller assets into the market, what benefits does that create for the energy system as a whole? Is there actually a measurable effect? I couldn't research any study, but there probably are. Or do you have a take on that, perhaps, Julia?
Yeah, good point. We did once kind of this exercise to think like, okay, what does it mean if we connect this kind of commercial sites to the grid and have their flexibility connected as we do it. If we just take, I think, 5% of the mid-sized manufacturing companies in Bavaria, which exist, and add their solution where they kind of contribute to the market, this would already give us a flexibility capacity of around 1 gigawatt. 1 gigawatt is approximately what we see a medium or like a triple gas peaker. And also like if we compare it, like if we would build it from scratch on a green field, for example, with grid scale batteries, this would need a lot of land or like just like, yeah, place. So it's not integrated in the existing grid. It needs a new grid connection. And there we did also the calculation. This would take about 140 football fields in terms of land, but also an investment in terms of only grid connections fees or like the Baukostenzuschuss, as we said in German, of around 110 million euros, besides all the other investment. Of course, there's also investment for the companies, but I think it shows quite nicely that it's kind of has a huge effect if we utilize much more the existing infrastructure, giving the companies, which has already the grid connection, the possibility to add flexible assets to their side. So yeah, we would say like, what's the benefit? I think it's on one side that we utilize more the infrastructure. On the other side, what we can see, we can be much faster in the implementation because we don't need a new grid connection. We don't have to wait to get approval from the grid operator. So in terms of acceleration, I think we can make a big point or like a contribution in deploying much faster flexibility connecting flexibility to the grid.
Looking ahead, do you think flexibility could become as important as, I don't know, as you say, generation capacity itself?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I think we definitely need both. We need for renewable, stable and resilient grid. So we need a generation, but we need also the flexibility. But I would say we even need something else. So besides generation and flexibility, we need the smart interoperability between these two components, which really bring them together efficiently and then, yeah, making them working. So yes, both and another part.
Yeah, and then if we look even further, like let's say 5 years into the future, what will truly flexible commercial energy consumers look like? Do they all work with Utilize and S4in together as a dream team in optimization? Or what would you think? Do we have to just use the existing infrastructure we have nowadays? Or will be the mix the same? What is your take on that?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, yeah, we would love if they all would work with us together and with you, with S4in, S1, an established partner on the trading side, which really make it possible to really generate the profits. What we would love to see is, I think we'll see for these commercial sites that it will become very normal that you have, besides the PV, what we see already now, a PV system on your roof, battery storage will be standard, and I completely agree with the ministry that every grid connection will have a battery storage, that you have a load management, of course. I think that's the optimal flexible side, but as well like connected to this flexibility market, really not only behaving, follow like what is good, but also like actively benefit in terms of like you sell energy when it's also like expensive, or you provide energy to the grid when it's needed. And normally it's then when it's expensive. Yeah, and there I see like the combination, how we set it up now with S4N, with you, VS, like this orchestration layer in between, aggregating these assets and then monetize them very efficiently at the energy markets with your solution as an algo trader. I think that's for me the future.
And now we are already heading to the last question. I have to ask all my guests, because that's a mandatory question for our S4N Changemakers podcast. And it's, who is your changemaker in the energy transition, for the energy future, or in general, totally besides the energy sector?
I don't have your name. It's not a name. I think it's, for me, it's the customer. Or consumer, I would say. And maybe it sounds a bit like counterintuitive. Why do I say consumer? But I mean like the consumer, the forerunners, the early adopters among them, who like, yeah, before the mainstream believe in it and invest in it, see the potential and also drive the change. I think BD earlier showed that it's working. And these are really, I would say, my change makers in the energy transitions. We need them all to make new solutions, business approaches feasible on the market, and then show that it's working. Yeah, and we are really proud that these kind of early adapters we have as consumers are part of our, yeah, of our customers. We're kind of believing in it and see like the potential, and also like say like, I want to do this, and yeah, being one step ahead before. Yeah, it's a common solution on the market.
Thank you very much. I think that's a very interesting take on the consumer side, because without the demand or changing the demand, the supply won't change either. And yeah, thank you very much for sharing your insights on utilize, on your path, and on your take on the most important topic in our view sometimes, flexibility, but also how it's interconnected, and that small businesses also deserve, yeah, an in-depth view and help as well. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Thea. It was great to talk to you.
And thank you for our listeners for tuning in to another episode of our S4N Changemakers podcast. And yeah, if you enjoyed that episode as much as I did with Julia, feel free to subscribe and share it with your colleagues, energy friends, or other people that wanting to make a change in everyday lives. Yeah, until next time, stay tuned for the next episode.